Pam, you got the first question? All right, you had your hand up first. We'll let you ask the first question.
1 Timothy 6:20.
1 Timothy 6:20. Just the one about wives being submission or wives being... You can hear all the husbands saying amen. 1 Timothy 6:20. Hang on a minute. Okay, 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called. Yes.
Science falsely so-called. I kind of want to know what that false science.
Well, if you went and got a new Scofield Bible, they take out science and put in knowledge, so you wouldn't have to deal with the verse. Maybe that's your best bet. But, seeing how I don't think you want to do that, let's look at the whole verse here. He says, verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Okay, now let's stop right there. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. That he's talking about the Word of God. Because Timothy has been entrusted with the Word of God. He has the Word of God. And what follows is two warnings. Two warnings. And the first warning is avoiding profane and vain babblings. That's your philosophy. Two greatest enemies of Christianity are science and philosophy. And both of them are against the Word of God. Philosophy starts, as we know it, philosophy, just to give you an idea, philosophy starts, what we would call philosophy, in the time between the Testaments. We know that God in Genesis begins to bring everything through. We see Abraham, we see the patriarch, we see Moses, the children of Israel, da-da-da-da. They go down into the kingdoms, they get David, they get Solomon, and as you know, Israel's at its peak under Solomon. And then they digress from there, and in 606 B.C., 587, the times of the Gentiles come in. And when the times of the Gentiles come in, that means that God is finished with the nation of Israel as a nation, in the sense of them being God's chosen people on this earth for that kingdom that God is bringing. Now, that means that God doesn't give any more revelations. God doesn't give any more prophecies. The only thing that you will get from God is already written in the Old Testament. In fact, Bible scholars years and years ago, or Bible students years ago, I don't like the word scholars, Bible students years and years ago used to call that the 400 silent years. And it's the time from Malachi to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when Christ shows up. 400 years which God speaks to no man. And the only revelation that is around is the revelation that is already written in the Old Testament. God is not giving any new revelation to anybody. Now, when that happened, when heaven shut the door and God said, okay, times of the Gentiles are come in, Gentiles are now going to rule the world, Israel's going to be out of it, I'm not going to be, we're going to switch tonight like we did?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to be, to them like I was. Israel is basically on their own. And from that point on, when Gentile domination has the world, they begin to fill in the blanks where God isn't speaking anymore. So what happens is you find the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar, then you find the Persians, then you find the Greeks, then you find the Romans, and all through that is where we get the philosophy of today. Of course, you know that the Greeks were known for their knowledge and their wisdom. The great philosophers, Aristotle, Socrates, and Plato, all those guys, they come out of the Greek Empire. What they basically do is take the Old Testament that was written and the writings of Solomon, and they corrupt them to the place where they take things out of it, and then they add their own philosophical, humanistic ideas to it, And they all have the same goal. They all talk about a perfect utopia. That would be the kingdom of heaven in the Old Testament, except it's from a Gentile standpoint that is totally, completely a long way from the Word of God and what God wants to do. So the Gentiles come up with, for those 400 years, all the philosophies. And in their basic root form, they're Babylonian, Egyptian, Phoenician philosophies of life from their religion that these guys take and put into a philosophy of life. They're hailed as the great thinkers, the great minds of the time, even today. And they form the basis for all the modern philosophy that we have today. Now, what happens is, and I'm going to bring you through philosophy, then I'm going to come back and bring you through science. What happens is that they come down through time, and the Greeks are around 300 with Alexander the Great, and then the Romans come on about the latter part of the 300 B.C., and then they're in power down to the time of Christ and on up to almost 400 A.D. So they're almost 1,000 years that they're a strong kingdom. They take what the Greeks did, and they even cultivated even more. Well, around 400 A.D., the pagan Roman Empire becomes the Christian Roman Empire, and then you have a brand of Christian philosophers. And this would be, you probably have had friends that went to this guy's high school, St. Thomas Aquinas. Ever see a high school like that? He was a Roman Catholic philosopher, Christian philosopher, quote-unquote Christian. What these guys did is they took the pagan, Roman, and Greek philosophies, and then they Christianized them. And they take them and come up with all the ideas that you have today in Christianity. And then the other group, the secular group, like Thomas Paine, Kant, Nietzsche, and all that group, the European thinkers, the mindset from Europe, they form the humanistic mind without the church. And they both come up through the history of Europe, the history of the church, and they all stand for one reason, that is to destroy the Word of God. And they are the devil's counterfeit to what God gave in the first part of human history up to 606 B.C. From Genesis to 2 Chronicles, God is hogging the mail as far as dominating the world with truth and power and majesty and all the things that impact this world. Suddenly in 606 B.C., God slams the door shut. No more revelations come down. And at that point, the devil picks up the ball, starts to dribble it with philosophy, and he counterfeits through humanistic philosophy what God had done through the Word of God to destroy what God had did. And of course, that was his plan. All history is nothing more than two elements. God moving in a direction to fulfill his plan and fulfill his kingdom, and the devil moving in opposition to that to stop it. And you can go right down the line. Most people take a little bit farther. In America, when you start to study the history of America, you'll find that there's seven times in America where the Spirit of God pours itself out in great revivals in America. They're called the Great Awakenings. And there's seven periods of time in history when God pours out his Spirit on this country, starting with the birth of our country, up through some great preachers, right up to the last one was around the 1950s. And you'll find that there's seven periods of time when God opens up his Spirit and pours his Spirit out on this country, and they move across the country. They start in New England, and the last one's in California. And they move right across this country, starting back in the 1600s, running right up to the 20th century. You're going to find, as God opened up seven revivals, awakenings in this country, the devil started seven counterfeit religions in this country. Those counterfeit religions will match up almost exactly to the seven great awakenings. In other words, God moves one way, the devil moves to cut him off. God opens up a great revival, the devil moves in with a false religion. You wonder where your Jehovah's Witnesses and your Mormons and your Seventh-day Disadvantagists and all those other people and the charismatic crowd and all that come in? They are part of the opposition through those seven great awakenings in the United States. And they're what we call the American cults. They don't have their roots in Europe. They don't have their roots founded in the Far East, like Zen Buddhism or Confucius or Muhammad. These are cheap 25-cent, $3 for $1 religions that you find in America that have no basis. I mean, you go to hell as a Buddhist, you go to hell in a Cadillac. You go to hell as Jehovah's Witness, you go on a moped. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It is a cheap 25-cent religion that means nothing. Has no roots, no groundings, no nothing. I mean, I don't want anybody to go to hell, but that's my analogy. So the devil counterfeits all down through history. And when God shuts the door of revelation at the 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and you enter into the times of the Gentiles, God gives no more revelation. Then you find man-made genealogies coming up, or man-made philosophies coming up, and there is nothing more than taking what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes. By the way, if you were to go through the book of Ecclesiastes, you could find every philosophy by name. Pragmatism, socialism, Nazism, existentialism, pragmatism, every one of them are defined in 1000 B.C. by Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. All those guys did. Socrates. Plato. Esophagus. He was tough to swallow. All those guys. All those guys did was take Ecclesiastes and what Solomon already wrote and repackage it in a human form. Okay? There's vain babblings. Two warnings in the Bible. First one is vain babblings. And he says, avoiding profane and vain babblings, here comes the second one, and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Science falsely so-called is because science isn't really science. The science that you get today is junk. It hasn't any truth in it at all. It's like philosophy. What philosophy does is every 30, 40 years they repackage it, somebody writes another textbook, and they take the same old stuff and just rehash it over and add a few new things to it and present it as something new. It ain't nothing new. It's the same old thing. Darwin, in around the 1830s, 1840s, comes up, writes his thesis on the origin of the species and comes up with evolution. Everybody says, wow, evolution is a great thing. And it rocked the world. It rocked the world to such a degree that there were people in the South who were born-again believers who were taken back because of the precedent that was set when evolution came forth, that all the minds in Europe were gravitating to it like it was something new. The Babylonians taught evolution. The Egyptians taught evolution. The Phoenicians taught evolution. Baal worshippers back in the Old Testament taught evolution. The Egyptians believed that man came into being from a worm, crawled out of the Nile, and evolved up to being a man. It was nothing new. But here's the thing you got to remember. This is the greatest line you'll ever hear me say, and some of you have heard me say it for years. The only thing that man never learns from history is the fact man never learned anything from history. History always repeats itself. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. Somebody will say, see, this is new. No, it's already been of old. But it's already been repackaged, reshipped, relabeled, and now it looks like it's something new. Uh-uh. Science comes in where you find the early scientists, they hitchhike off the Babylonians and the Egyptians. They were great astronomers. They understood the movement of the planets. They didn't have telescopes back then. They didn't have all the things that we'd had. Didn't have the Hubble. Didn't have star charts. Didn't have anything. And yet they actually predicted all the events of the Earth's rotation, the distance from the sun, and all of that. Stonehenge in England is a classic example. I mean, it is set up that on a period of the movement of the sun, that at a certain time of the year, the sun goes down between those rocks at the right spot, and it does, it's like a gigantic sundial that it predicts different things in the heavens. The Great Pyramid's another one. And the Great Pyramid of Cheopius over there in Egypt is another deal that is astronomically set together. I mean, if you take from the bottom and you take it to measure it to the top, you can take the rise of it for so many feet, you divide all that up, you got the circumference of the earth. I mean, everything about it is built into. Whoever did it knew what they were doing and knew some scientific facts. Well, that all comes from the Egyptians, the Babylonians, and the Phoenicians, and all those early civilizations that were much farther ahead as far as science concerned, as far as astronomy and all of that, than we give them credit for. And of course, it's all used for the wrong thing. And science, as philosophy, exists for one reason. And that reason is to disprove God and the Word of God. That's all. I mean, that's the long and the short of it. And when he says science falsely so called, here's what you got. Here's the long and the short of it. Let's take evolution. Now, evolution says that we got here by a Big Bang theory that happened billions and billions and billions of years ago. And I was just watching something on the Discovery Channel the other night. Talked about the Big Bang. The Big Bang took place. It made all the galaxies and all the nebulas and all the planets and everything come from the Big Bang. And they talk about evolution. And, you know, they go on and on and on. And what they'll do is they'll lose you in the annals of history and the volumes and volumes and volumes of material that have been written, that they will weigh you down to the place that you just get wore out trying to defend it. Well, as I've told you many, many times, in our Bible studies over the weeks to come, months to come, years to come, if Jesus doesn't come, I will give you in time, as somebody asks the questions, the shortcut to dealing with everybody about everything in life. I have one thing I have figured out in life, and I don't care what religion you are, I don't care what you believe, whether it be philosophy, whether it be science, whatever you are, I will take you to the shortest route and leave you hanging out there with nothing to say quicker than you know what to do. And in time, I'll teach you all that. We don't have time to do it all night, but I'm going to give you one tonight. Evolution. Somebody says, okay, let's get all these books out here on evolution. Somebody says, let's talk about all this great theory in evolution. No, let's don't waste the time with that. Let's deal with it. Shortcut. Remember I told you? Two ways to St. Louis, right? What's the first way? You weren't here that night, so I'll excuse you.
You forgot already.
Go stand in the corner with your nose around the corner over there. Two ways to St. Louis. You get on I-70, and 3.5 hours later, you enter into St. Charles. You go past Noah's Ark over there, that big thing over there. John stayed there, I can tell. You stayed in the animal room. Free animal crackers in the morning. And you drive on into St. Louis. What, 3 hours? 3.5 hours? Okay. Or you can go I-70 and go west. Go through Kansas. Go through Colorado. Go through Montana. Go to California. Get on a boat. Head out to sea. Move around there. Go past China. Wake Island. I mean, Midway. Hawaii. Keep on moving, come around the other side, come back around, bang, hit the New York coast, get on another freeway, drive all the way to St. Louis. Now, that's what you got. Two choices.
Expect me to remember that.
Well, I think it's quite profound. I always remember profound things, but that's all right. Okay, here's where we're at. Somebody says, evolution. Let's go the long route. No, boys and girls, let's go the short route. Let me just tell you something. Everything around you got here by one of four ways. Not five, not six, not three, one of four ways. It either got here supernaturally, that's God. It either came from something, it either came from nothing, Big Bang Theory. It either came from something that was already here. And the fourth one is, it isn't really here, and we all just think it is. All right, let's look at it. It came from nothing. Well, it couldn't. Every scientist, every evolutionist in the world believes in the law of first and second law of thermodynamics. You know what the law of thermodynamics says? One of the laws says this: matter can neither be created nor destroyed. So it didn't come from nothing. If the law of thermodynamics says that matter cannot be created nor destroyed, it just changes form, then it couldn't have come from nothing. The second thing is, it came from something that was already here. Oh, no. The other law of thermodynamics says things, this is called the law of entropy, things left in a random state go down, not up. Does your watch run up or down? You buy a new car, does it get more value or less value? You paint your house, does it get better or worse? Your body, is it getting better or is it getting worse? Nothing in life runs up. Everything runs down. The universe doesn't start and get better and better and better. The law of thermodynamics says that things in a random state degenerate. Every evolutionist in the world believes that. So somebody says, well, it only came one of four ways. It either came from something that was already here. Law of thermodynamics says that can't happen. That's a law. And everybody in the world that is a scientist, a scribe, there isn't one scientist anywhere in the world, unless he's in a mental hospital someplace, that will say the law of first and second thermodynamics is not true. That if it's true, and everybody ascribes to it, that it didn't come from something that was already here. And it didn't come from nothing. That leaves you two choices. It either came supernaturally from God, that's where I'm at, or it ain't really here. It's a marijuana pipe dream, man, and life is. And that's why all these kids in college get on drugs. That's why everybody goes that route. That's why all the music goes that way. A big no-no, never-never land where anything goes and nothing is really real, and Puff the Magic Dragon, you know, and a yellow submarine and all that stuff, because that's the mindset. Truth of the matter is, it was God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. End of it. So somebody can talk all day long about, but the bottom line, you bring them right back and hold their feet to the fire. It all got here only one of four ways. Really, three ways. The fourth way is just kind of a joke I throw in. Three ways. God, it came from nothing, or it came from something. And the first and second law of thermodynamics rule out the second and the third one, so you're left with God. Now, you see, a scientist knows you won't know that. And he'll never keep it simple. Your doctor will never keep it simple. Did you ever try to read your own prescription? You can't read it. He talks to you about your epidermis and all those things. Man, you don't know what he's talking about. He talks about, you go to your dentist, he talks about your bicuspids and your molars. You know what he's talking about. You talk to your doctor, he talks about your gastric juices and all that. You know what he's talking about. The dentist would just say, the big teeth on the top and the small teeth on the bottom got holes in them, I could deal with it. But he couldn't charge you $250 by talking that way, see? But that's where we're at. This whole world wants to keep you as confused as it can. God wants to make it as simple as he can. I learned that so many years ago, and that's why, to me, I can look at the most complex thing in life, and I'll break it down to the most simplest form based on the biblical principles, because that's the only way life needs to be. So when somebody talks to me about evolution, I don't see it in a sense of all these deals. I mean, I'll talk to you if you want about the Big Bang Theory, the Encounter Theory, the Nebula Theory. We'll go wherever you want to go. But the bottom line is, when we're all done with all that, we spent, 6 or 7, 9, 8, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 hours, it all comes back that it only got here by one of three ways. And two of them don't count, because the laws that you believe in as a scientist cancel them out. That's why the Bible calls it science falsely so-called. It's false. It has nothing to do with truth. Real science is truth. You want real science? Go to the book of Job. I'll take you to the book of Job, and Job down there probably lives down there sometimes in Abraham's time. You want some real science? I'll take you back in the book of Job and show you a spectroscope splitting light back there in 1000 in that time. I'll show you back there with a telegraph, somebody talking on a telegraph back in the book of Job. Light talking. I'll show you a place where it says, where is the way that light dwelleth? Where is the way that light dwells? Why didn't he say, where is the place that light dwells? Because Job knew the light was always moving, 186,000 miles a second, never stops. That's why. You want science? That's science. Job, Genesis, that's science. Boy, you'll get it all in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. What he don't give you, you'll get out of the book of Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, and the book of Job. Science. Science. So it's falsely so-called when the world puts it out. And those two things are the things that were put out to destroy the Word of God. The Word of God is the greatest science book the world has ever seen. No question about it. It'll give you the levels of the universe. It'll give you what's out in the universe. It'll tell you what's taking. It'll give you the size and the dimension of the universe. It's got everything in it. Now, nobody believes that, but what do I care? I believe it. I know where it's at. I mean, imagine a guy saying, well, I don't believe that. Well, could you show me where it is? Well, no, I don't know where it's at. Well, you believe something, you don't even know where it's at. I'm telling you, that book is the most fantastic book on science you'll ever see in your life. And that's why all the other stuff that you got out there is science falsely so-called. That's science. Bible science. Bible's the greatest science book that ever was. Bible's the greatest math book that ever was. Bible's the greatest book of anything ever was. Greatest health book. Greatest history book. I mean, it'll do everything you want it to do. That's why it's called the unsearchable riches. And of course, man gets his hands on it. He hates God. He hates the Bible. And so he comes up with philosophy, the vain babblings, and he comes up with science, falsely so-called. And both of them exist for one purpose. That is to destroy the Word of God or destroy anybody that's in the Word of God. And now you talk to somebody that's in philosophy, you talk to somebody that's in science that's really bought into it. You know what? I want to tell you something. You talk to them, and then you come and talk to me about the Bible. You know what you'll find? You'll find that they are just as passionate about philosophy and science as they am about the Word of God. That's their religion. That's their religion. That's their God. And they're into it. This is mine. I'm into it. And I mean, that's where they're at. I've talked to them all my life. And one of them says, well, there's three things that we need to look at when it comes to the universe. And he says, what do you say? And I say, there's three things you need to understand about eternity. Location, location, location. Put it right back to him, man. I mean, I'll bring you back to reality, man. Three things you got to worry about eternity. Only three. What are they? What's the first one? Location. Okay, what's the second? Location. What's the third? Location. Don't give me your 3-3-3-3s for the universe. I'll give you 3-3-3 for eternity. And you know what? That's the greatest book. That's why he says, Timothy, he says, keep that which is committed to thy trust. That's the book. The book. That's the Word of God. You keep the book, you'll never go wrong. You know, I always get excited when I see young Christians that really get an attitude and a hunger for the Word of God, because I know what that book will do for you. And I know I can stand up here and spew off a lot of things about what it's done, you know, for my life and all that, and you can relate to some of that, but the truth of the matter is, you got to get into it and experience yourself that you really relate to it. Because that book, man, I mean, you got it, you got everything you need. I mean, you'll go through life, I mean, you'll go, that Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. And it's like being out in the dark, moonless night when you can't see anything and there's all kind of pitfalls and stumbling things all over the road of life. And that book is like an ever-ready flashlight battery, man. It just lights it up and you'll never stumble on a thing. It'll show you things that you can't see because it is the light. It is the light that shineth in darkness. And the darkness, there's the world, comprehended it not. So, that's what you got. And science falsely so-called, you can't really answer the one without the other. There's the two warnings in the New Testament. One of them for philosophy, one of them for science. I'll show it to you again. Let's see here. Colossians. Pages are sticking together here. Okay. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit and the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There's philosophy and vain deceit, the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. Philosophy will destroy you because it's against the Word of God. And it'll ruin you to the place where, you know, it'll destroy anything you can have for God, because it takes God out of your life and takes God out of the world. And of course, that's exactly why every pagan philosophy comes out of Europe in the United States today. Europe was destroyed through the Counter-Reformation by the Roman Catholic Church. After Martin Luther led the Reformation, they put on a Counter-Reformation to get the minds of Europe by taking the Jesuits into the colleges in Europe and having to be teachers and taught every dictator. I mean, it's phenomenal. Every dictator, every philosopher, everybody that we would look back in history and say they're a terrible person, da 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 da, were taught that in a European Jesuit school in Europe, and that's where they got the mindset for it. They literally destroyed it. And that's where it's at. And that's the two warnings in the Word of God, philosophy and science. And you're to hold fast that which you've got, and that's the Word of God. That help you? A little more than you bargained for, but two for one night tonight. Anybody want to add anything to that?